following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning here in this third Sunday of Advent. I know this, it keeps throwing me off, and it threw Gwen off this morning to this, it's only December 11th, and we're already at the third Sunday of Advent. It feels a bit strange, but here we are. Here we are. And you know, this season of Advent, I hope, has been a rich season so far. That it has been a season for you of waiting, a season of preparation, a season of anticipation, and a chance for us individually and as a church to get ready for the coming of the Messiah. I think I mentioned last week that I have been reading in my devotional time each day a collection of poems. And the collection is called Waiting on the Word. The poems have been, for this particular book, have been chosen by a poet, an author, professor from Cambridge named Malcolm Guite. And he not only does a fantastic job of kind of curating this particular collection and another collection as well, but he's also a really great poet himself. His poetry is really approachable and really rich. And I say that as someone who is not necessarily like a poetry fanatic. That's not usually my thing, but for whatever reason in this season, this has been a really, really valuable and really rich thing for me. In the reflection and the response that he included after yesterday's poem, which is called In the Drear Nighted December by John Keats, Malcolm Guite speaks about the opportunity that Advent is to recall the life we have in Christ. It is a chance for us in the dark and dreary month of December to be reminded of the warmth and the glow of Jesus, for the life that springs up from the root of Jesse. And so over the past couple of weeks, and again this morning, we have been looking at videos that have given us a theme for the morning. Right? 2 weeks ago, the theme was love. Without God's love, there would be no Christmas. There would be no Advent. God's love is what brings Jesus to us. God's love for creation is evident in Christmas, but also as we anticipate that incredible act of love, sending his son for us on Christmas morning. Last week, you may remember, our theme was hope. And we looked at the way that Paul talks about hope. Again, still funny, those are my parents' names. And my dad does indeed talk about hope, but not in Romans 15. That's the Paul that talks about hope. And Paul there speaks about hope in terms of the truth and the promise of Scripture. Paul speaks about hope in the promise of the inclusive nature of Jesus being a Messiah for all people. And specifically there, he talks about including the Gentiles in that. And then Paul speaks of hope in a way that was really eye-opening to me when we read it last week, that God in this season is also hopeful. That God is hopeful for us as followers of Christ, that God is hopeful for creation, and that God is so hopeful that he sends his son for us. And so this is a season that indeed is full of hope. Our theme this morning, which maybe you have already picked up on, is joy. Correct. There's a lot of very tentative joys out there. Joy seems like this really natural word or emotion or feeling in the season of Advent, right? There are Christmas carols that speak of joy. Joy to the world, of course. The refrain in God, yes, God rest ye merry gentlemen. The first line of O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. the middle of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Joyful All Ye Nations Rise. And there's lots of other times where we see this word joy in our carols of the season. Joy also finds its way into many decorations, right? You have probably seen in lots of houses and lots of places just those three letters, J-O-Y, joy. It's a word that is core to the idea of Christmas spirit. And there's certainly good reason for it, right? And as we look at our scripture passage for this morning, we will be reminded of that reason. We're going to be looking this morning at Isaiah 35. So if you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand. One of our ushers would be happy to bring you one, either for today or to keep. But before we look at Isaiah 35, let me pray for us, and then we can dive into scripture together. Gracious God, we are thankful for your great gift of hope. We know that in your scripture and the promises we find there that you have expressed great hope to all people. Lord, help us to embrace and dwell in your hope this morning and every morning. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I'm reading from Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is a really wonderful passage from Isaiah. And it's a passage that is, of course, full of hope, but it is equally full of joy. And we see that joy from the very start of this passage, that the message and the promise of joy and of gladness and of rejoicing. But what's really notable to me about the beginning is that it isn't first people who are rejoicing in this passage. No, it's creation. It's actually the desert. It is the dry land, the wilderness, land that you would want to pass through as quickly as possible. This isn't the rainforest where you might expect joy. This isn't the majesty of snow-capped mountains or the beauty of crashing waves. This isn't lush, flowing plains. This is the desert, the empty, the arid, the dry, the seemingly abandoned, the place the Israelites desperately want to get out of and into Canaan. But even here, the promise of the coming Messiah rings out. And so there is great rejoicing and great celebration. We also see that the joy here comes in the transformative power of the coming Messiah. We read about people being made whole. People who could not see will see. People who could not hear will hear. People who could not walk will leap like deer. And people who cannot speak will speak. This is a promise that indeed will bring about great shouts of joy from people as well as from creation. The last three verses are really that ultimate promise in here. They are a promise that means more than everything else promised here in Isaiah 35. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. In one of the translations of this, in verse 8, it says, "No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray." And I really love that language. At how we are going to be stuck on that highway if we're following God. That's the kind of place God is preparing for us. We can be totally foolish, and we will not go astray if we are following God. But what a promise this is, that this highway is. It is a highway that is safe from all things for all God's people. And this is a promise of redemption, and it's a promise of everlasting joy. My favorite quote that I read in reference to this passage is from a pastor in Michigan. There's going to be lots of references to Michigan this morning. Funny. Her name is Stacy Simpson Duke, and she says, "This text does what Advent does. It points backward to old promises, which point forward to a fuller future joy. We live in the in-between time, as this prophet's people did. We are asked to take heart. God will come and save. We will find our holy way toward home, and our mouths will be filled with no more sighing, only song." And I really love that she references that last line of Isaiah 35. "Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." I'm going to come back to that idea in a little bit, but I want to take you through my week, give you a little glimpse at my week. So as is would make sense, I have tried to spend this week thinking a lot about joy. I've read about joy, I've prayed about joy, I have racked my brain this week to come up with different types of joy or different experiences of joy to share as illustrations as we embrace this very real and important aspect of the Advent season. But somehow, and perhaps a small part of this is because I'm currently reading the book Angela's Ashes, which is not a particularly joy-filled book. But seemingly every time I sat down to really do the work of digging into the idea of joy, I came across situations that really made thinking about joy, let alone expressing joy, difficult. Monday, a colleague of mine who's a pastor in Michigan asked for prayer on a clergy Facebook group site that we're a part of because his daughter, Kylie, and her boyfriend died in a car accident. And I feel devastated for Chad, for his wife, and his son as they mourn this horrible loss. And so the question in that becomes, where and how are we to find joy? Later on in the week, again on Facebook, I saw a post from a friend of mine from university who also happens to be a pastor in Michigan, who asked for prayer for himself, for his church, and for a family whose daughter died Thursday morning. And again, we have this devastating situation for the family, for the pastor, for the church, for the community. And in this season, amidst that kind of trial and suffering and loss, where are we to find joy? Perhaps you saw in the prayer chain yesterday that Terry's neighbor, Nicole, is not responding to treatment as we hoped, and her prognosis is not good. There again in this season, where do we find joy? Yesterday, as I was, you know, about ready, maybe a couple hours from ready. Eric is giving me the smirk like that's absolutely maybe more than a few hours from ready. But ready to sit down at my computer to finish up my sermon, both of Erica's parents called with separate difficult news. Erica's grandpa and one of her aunts received some really tough medical news recently. Both are quite scary, and there's some unknown and some real sadness that accompanies both these diagnoses. And in hearing those things and seeing the tears on Erica's face, again, I forced myself to ask, where and how do we find joy? And the reason that I ask that question is because I have this built-up assumption that the experience of joy means and has to be in the place of a complete absence of pain. Right? That seems to make sense, doesn't it? How can we experience joy when we are also experiencing pain? But the more that I read in this passage in Isaiah, and the more I read just quotes on joy, the more I began to realize that joy is only made that much greater in response to and in the conquering of pain. And so another moment from my week comes to mind. I walked onto the elevator at Peace Arch Hospital and joined a man who came from the other wing of the floor that I was visiting. And as the door closed, he said, "When do you suppose they decided to make the woman who announces on this elevator Scottish?" And I looked at him rather inquisitively, and he began to explain, just listen, I'm not going to try to do a Scottish accent for you because I would blow it. But now when you go, you're going to have to listen to this. He said, just listen. She says, going down in a distinct Scottish accent. And she does. She absolutely does. He smiles, and I listen, and I hear exactly what he's saying. And then what I thought was just a funny little interaction turned into something much more important. He looked at me and said, "My dad is Scottish, and that's how I can pick up the accent." He said, "I was visiting him. He's here in palliative care, and he's going to die here, most likely." And then he said, "Every time I leave from visiting him, I get on the elevator, and it makes me so happy because I think, Dad, you're being represented here on this elevator by a wee Scottish lass." And this man demonstrated right there in the Peace Arch Hospital elevator what joy in the midst of pain is all about. It's about choosing. It's about finding joy in even the most unexpected places and allowing that to settle in deep inside your heart. Earlier this week, Kathy sent me a video that she found put out by a church in Charlotte, North Carolina called Forest Hill Church. And the theme of the video and their series is actually centered around gratitude, but often it is gratitude that leads us into joy, because choosing to be grateful allows us to choose to experience joy. And so I want to invite you to just take a look at this video. It's a silly video, but I think there's a lot of truth in it. That guy, as ridiculous as it felt, chose joy. He chose gratitude in all of these things that seem so commonplace in life. And in the choice of gratitude for these things, he also found joy. And you could tell that he certainly shared that joy as well. We read in our passage from Isaiah the promises we have to hold on to that inform our joy even now. We have promises of redemption, promises of wholeness and healing, promises of a holy way and life in the wilderness. These are promises that should elicit joy from us as we marvel at the miraculous ways that God can and will bring these things about. These are promises that we know are to be fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah at Christmas, and as we look forward to when Christ will indeed come again. Isaiah ends this chapter, chapter 35, with the words, "Gladness and joy will overtake the people, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." And I really love that word, flee. Not just fade away, not drop away, not drift away. This is an action word. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. And that is the promise that we have in Christ. That is the promise of our God, the creator of the universe. That's the promise made to his people. The sorrow you experience will one day be no more. It will flee away. And all that will replace it is gladness and joy. And so in this season, I invite you to find those opportunities to choose joy. God, this morning, we need this reminder of your promises. God, in a week and in a season where so much pain and sorrow and grief is experienced, we are thankful for the reminder that you are preparing a way to make that sorrow and pain no more. We are thankful that you will make all things whole, that you will make life spring up in the desert, and that even the wilderness will cry out in joy for the things you have done. Lord, we need a reminder of that great joy that is to come. Help us to choose joy this season. Help us to choose you, knowing that you are the ultimate source of joy. Lord, we pray this, thankful for your love, in great hope and anticipation for the coming of your Son, and rejoicing knowing you send him to us. And we pray this all in his holy and precious name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.